Good evening. The time is 8 p.m.
QST, QST, QST. Calling all radio amateurs. This is N7IVV, November 7, India. Victor, Victor, activating the Funkier Amateur Radio Association General Service Net. This net is held every Wednesday at 8 p.m. local time on this W4VA repeater located in Warrenton, Virginia. This repeater is owned and operated by the Funkier Amateur Radio Association and uses a PL tone of 167.9 Hz for access. If anyone listening would like additional information, please see our website at w4va.org. The purpose of this net is to provide a forum for general discussion and Q&A regarding topics such as radio hardware, computer software, antennas, operating procedures, and other similar information related to amateur radio activities. I have a number of announcements and maybe some news items, but let's see. My brain just went to mush. I guess maybe there's a topic, but I'll wait for it for just a moment here. Let's see. Guess maybe I should reset the timer. Where was I? Announcements. This Saturday, there is a BE test session down in Stafford. That's 9:30 a.m. on Saturday with the Virginia Volunteer Examiners. I can tell you that they're a very efficient group. Assuming you pass your exams, they will, well, they don't have any control over it, but let's just say that they process the paperwork in an extremely timely fashion, and we usually hear that people get their calls and everything back from the FCC within, 24 to 48 hours working days. I don't promise, don't hold me to that, but for those of you that know, my son passed his exam, and he is still waiting for his call because the VE group that did his exam actually mailed the packet up to the ARRL and the FCC, so he is still waiting. I'm very frustrated. He's frustrated, too, but live and learn. Informal club breakfast the 24th at 8:30 a.m. up at Wegmans in Gainesville. Come one, come all. Don't need to be a club member, and just anybody who wants to come along or come over, grab a cup of coffee, grab something to eat, whatever. And then, of course, the Bent Hill Farm Station 80th Anniversary Special Event Station, Kilo 4 Victor, will be running October 1st and 2nd, all day during the day. There will be no operations overnight, and it's going to be kind of like a field day, only not quite. So there is a number of requests out. There are a number of requests out for equipment, antennas, food, what have you. I believe that, if you go up to groups.io, there is a post up there that gives you some sign-up sheet and whatnot for that. Of course, if you want more information, you can contact John, AK4GG, directly via email, or however you would like to do that. And, of course, the next club meeting is October 6th. That's a week earlier than usual. The PATH Foundation room was not available even when I made the reservation 5-6 months ago. It had already been booked for the 13th, so we'll be meeting on the 6th here in October. Does anyone have any other announcements that I may have overlooked? If so, call N7IVV now. Go ahead.
KY4OP.
Nick, KY4OP. Go ahead.
Yes, just an announcement from the 4-H Club and 4-HKZ. Saturday, we'll be doing a multi-summit, multi-operator summits on the air activation. As well as a Parks on the Air activation inside of Shenandoah National Park. So N4HKZ call sign, club call sign, will be doing the POTA activation, and then several of our members and their family will be doing summit activations through SOTA. So I'll be sending out details on the group's IO, but estimated time for being on the summit sometime between 11 and 12 o'clock on Saturday. And we'll be out on Hawksbill and Stony Man. So that's all I had. Back to Net Control, KY4OP.
Excellent. That sounds like fun. We'll do all we can to support that. Be sure and put that up on groups.io and obviously frequencies. And I don't know if you're going to be doing HF stuff as well, but of course we'll. Well, anyway, we'll be monitoring and help out as much as we can with that. That'll be fun. Thanks for that, Nick. Let's see. I guess that's enough announcements. Does anybody have a specific topic they would like to discuss? That there are questions or whatever. Go ahead. Okay, a couple things popped up on QST this month. I actually don't know quite why I stopped getting the hard copy. I guess I need to go back in and change my prescription, so to speak. But the electronic copy is very handy, and it comes in. Of course, if you're a member of the ARRL, well, you wouldn't get QST if you weren't. If you were not, we strongly recommend that you do so and support the organization, but you also get the magazine, and you can get either hard copy or electronic copy. But a couple of things. Kevin, W4RKU, actually spotted some stuff and recommended that I take a look at it. There's a big section. There's two big articles on 3D printing. One is actually reviewing 3D printers, and the other one is kind of a teaser for neato stuff that you can actually print with 3D printers. I recommend that you take a look at that, those two articles. And there are a number of us in the club that have 3D printers, myself included. I actually have three. I kind of accumulated them because I've been working, or a year ago, was working on some really big projects that were just taking forever. And so I said, the heck with that, I'm just going to buy some more printers because they're not terrifically expensive. So, and the point of that is, if anybody has something that they would like to print or experiment with but don't have a printer, don't want to invest in one, by all means contact me, or, well, you can contact me and I can put you in touch with some other folks too that have printers. So that's a lot of fun. You can do some really neat stuff.
Alpha Kilo.
Another article, some of you may have seen the post that I popped up on groups.io about on-glass antennas. And the reason for that was I'm trying to help my son, once he gets his ticket, get on 2 meters from an apartment. And I got all excited and I ordered an on-glass antenna because he's in an apartment. I'm sure that he's got restrictions and won't be able to put up anything visible for an antenna. I thought, oh, we'll get him. We'll just put an on-glass antenna on one of his windows upstairs. And it wasn't until after I'd ordered it, and I think he actually had it, that I realized, duh, he's got double-pane windows, you know, insulated weather, what do they call them, storm windows, that's what we used to call them back in the day. Anyway, the double-pane window. And I realized, that's just not going to fly. It prompted some really good discussions. I recommend that if you haven't read them, you do so, as far as discussing on-glass antennas. And after realizing that was just a dumb thing, I started thinking, okay, well, we'll just do the regular quarter-wave ground plane type antenna that you actually make doing it. You're just using an SO239, a 19-inch piece of vertical wire soldered to the center conductor and some radials that you apply. You simply literally screw in or bolt to the four corners of the SO239 connector. That's interesting, though. As I was reading in the ARRL handbook, the amateur radio operator's handbook, I think it was the 2021 version, they had an article about that antenna that was written, I think, maybe 2019, maybe older than that. I mean, that antenna's been around forever. It's a really easy antenna to make, but they only had two radials on it. I was surprised at that. And one of the things they said was that makes it very easy to store if you weren't going to use it, you know, all the time, which is true. I mean, you know, the thing's flat. It's not very big. Still, normally you'd use four, and you bend the radials down 45 degrees, and that makes almost a perfect 50-ohm match. So you just screw a piece of coax onto the bottom and run it over to your 2-meter rig, and there you go. Well, that's all fine and good. Now, I think we've all heard about Slim Jim antennas and all this, that, and the other J-poles and that kind of thing. Well, there's an article here in this QST for a J-pole. It's a dual-band J-pole made out of 450-ohm ladder line. For those those of you, well, most of you may not know what ladder line is, but it used to be used for TVs. It's literally two pieces of wire insulated and separated by some more plastic insulation. I think, I don't know, half an inch or something like that between the two. And it was used to be used for doing TV stuff and radio antennas and whatnot back in the day. Isn't used too much, but actually there's a number of things that you can do with it for amateur radio. Well, anyway, the article talks about making a dual-band J-pole out of some ladder line, 450-ohm ladder line. So I think that'll be a project that we'll work on. Very simple. The thing is all of, it's about 5 feet long, all said and done, by the time you get the thing cut and whatnot. And it's sort of designed for throwing in your Aries emergency transmission, you know, your go kit with your radio. You know, you can wrap the thing up because it's made out of flexible, you know, wire. It's stranded wire, and it's made to hang up in something. You know, throw a piece of string up over a tree and run the thing up, and you got yourself an emergency communications antenna for both 2 meters and 440. And this particular one actually has a choke on the end of it. It's got a 1-inch piece of PVC with, what did you say, 6 to 8 turns of RG58 wrapped around it and taped together and whatnot. And really simple antenna to make. Helps if you have some way of measuring the SWR accurately, but there's enough people in the club that have SWR meters that this might be a fun thing to do after a club meeting. If they want to bring it in. Obviously, make sure somebody brings their analyzer in with them to the club meeting and can kind of tweak these and tune them up. Anyway, I recommend the QST this month for a couple of really good articles on antennas and 3D printers. And so I guess we'll throw that out for the discussion topic if anybody has any questions or wants to talk about that at all as we go down through the list here, as we check in here tonight.
I have no particular questions. This is Kilo Quebec 4, Charlie Juliet Bravo. I'm just checking in because I was away eating dinner, so I left my computer on. I'm running Echolink.
Do that again, KQ4 who?
KQ4CJB, Charlie Juliet Bravo.
Okay, yeah, I heard you check in on Echolink. So welcome, Michael. All right, any other check-ins? Go ahead, please.
This is Kilo Quebec 4, Charlie Victor Foxtrot, Mark Stafford.
K2PI. Alpha 4, Bravo Oscar Lima. James, Mobile.
Whiskey 4, Romeo Kilo, Uniform.
KO4, November Mike Charlie, Mobile, no comment.
Here is Kilo Mike 4, Oscar Zulu Hotel.
H3 4. KS1, PPY.
KO4, ZNZ.
KN4, SPL, no comment.
K4. Okay, let's see. We got KY4OP, Nick, got you in. KQ4CJB, Michael. KQ4CVF, Mark. KQPI, and I must have gotten the call wrong. I've got KB4BOL. I'll come back to you in a minute to correct that, but I don't think that that's right unless you're coming in on the Echo Link. So I'll correct you in just a minute. W4RKU, KO4NMC, Alan, hi, and goodbye. Thanks for checking in. KM4OZH, Gil, K3FR, Ron, KS1PPY, Sidby, KO4PNZ, Chuck, KN4SBL, Bob, thanks for checking in. AK4GG, John, thanks for checking in. Okay, corrections or additional check-ins, please call now.
W8BT, Chuck beat me.
Okay, Travis, W8BT, I've got you. And KB4BOL, give me a correction on your call. I don't think that's right. Go ahead.
Says Kilo Alpha 4, Bravo, Oscar Lima. James, Mobile, and I don't know, Gainesville somewhere, I think.
Okay, very good. I just had the second letter wrong. It's amazing how that messes you up. Okay. Well, you know what? Since you're mobile, I'll let you go ahead and take first shot on the comments here tonight. So, because you might, well, Gainesville, you hold the repeater. But anyway, go ahead. N7IVB.
N7IVB, I believe it is. Net control. The question is directed at you. regarding the printers. Are you able to print things like a set of nylon gears for a Drink R4B or similar types of gears for boat anchors? Back to net control.
Yeah, certainly. I say that. Basically, we can print anything that we have a file for, or we can design. I mean, most of us know how to also create the file. If we have either the original where we can take measurements, or it's always much easier if somebody else has done the work for us, but something like that may be necessary to actually have the part so we can take measurements and be able to duplicate it properly, but I give you a qualified absolutely. So I guess that's probably the easy answer to your question. So the rest of it is more than likely we would have to have the part. I say we because there's more than one of us in the club that have these printers. And some people may have more skill in creating the actual CAD file that is used to convert over to a file that the printer can use. But anyway, yeah, if you want to contact me offline with more details, you can send an email to me at, I guess the easiest way to remember is N7IVV. It's November 7, India, Victor, at amsat.org, AMSAT, Amateur Satellite Group, amsat.org. Or, of course, well, actually, you know what, president@w4va.org works, too, at least for another few months. So send that over to me, and we'll see what we can do on that. And speaking of printing 3D things, KY4OP, Nick, how are you guys coming on your satellite project there with 4H there? Go ahead.
KY4OP in the net. I'm doing well. We haven't gotten too much further with that. I need to actually get yours back to you. The design that you have on yours that you 3D print, works really well. I think we might have a recommendation for allowing the rotation while also having the sensor on there, because right now, I think you pointed out, you rotate it and the AZL sensor on it gets all out of whack and starts pointing in the wrong directions. But I do need to get your equipment back to you. We actually got one of the grants from ARRL for their club grants, and so as soon as we get that, we'll be placing orders for those parts. That grant was specifically to cover the hands-on monthly activities that we do at the 4-H Club monthly meetings. So haven't made a whole lot of progress on it, except that we actually have funds now to buy the parts and all that for it, so we'll be doing that here hopefully shortly. And I'll begin with you to hopefully get that that box, and I don't even know what you call that part, but for holding the Aggie antenna and allowing it to have the 360 degrees of rotation. That's where we are with that. On your the second topic that you mentioned, the roll up ladder line dual band. I actually have a commercial version of one of those from Nelson Antennas. It's actually one of the antennas that we'll be taking with us up on the SOTA activation this weekend. I've used it, and Bree's used it on several SOTA activations. It's just real nice and easy to put in a bag and take up with you and hang from a tree, or actually just ordered tonight a telescoping fishing pole that I had seen recommended on a YouTube channel. So that Nelson antenna one is actually one that KX4O had done a review on a while back on his hamradio.me. But yeah, they're very convenient. Knowing what I know now about building antennas, you can absolutely build one. That one's a quality one that somebody's building and selling online through eBay. So I think that's it for me. I'll go ahead and hand it back over to Net Control. It's KY4OP.
Okay, Nick. Well, thanks for that info there. I was looking at KX4O's website, and he's got a lot of information there. And didn't read as much as I should have on his site. I just stumbled on the QST article today because I've been kind of thinking, okay, I know people make dual-band J-poles, but most of the stuff that I was seeing was like pseudo bulletproof for putting up on the roof on your tower, and I don't want to do that. I want something that is easily deployable inside the room of the apartment on the second floor, you know, low footprint and, you know, just sort of unobtrusive. So I may definitely want to take a look at that commercial version. That's a lot easier. But for a project, like you say, making these things is it's easy and fun. And I would definitely be interested in talking to you about what sort of changes you would recommend on that that Azel rotator, because it was kind of problematic. I wish I welcome your recommendations. See if we can't improve that. I think what I finally did is just gave up, and I just told the rotator to the program to just go 90 degrees. Don't try to go 180, because then the elements get in the way, and you know, you start extending the thing and making it bigger, and I think it starts taxing the rotator motors and everything else. So that was my baling wire solution there, I guess. So yeah, we'll get together and commiserate on that. Very good. Thanks for your comments. KQ4CJB. KQ4CJB. That's a relatively new call. Congratulations. Welcome to Ham Radio. Got anything for us tonight? Go ahead.
Well, I'm happy to hear from you guys. Like Net Operator said, I am relatively new to this hobby. I recently got my general license last Sunday or last Saturday. I got it on September 10th, and it's been officially listed on Monday of this week. So, and I'm also and I also recently applied for a family membership to join the club. So I'm not sure if you guys and gals at the Fox Amateur Radio Association did in fact get it, but once I do, I'm going to send my emails to the time. Today I'm hoping to get a job at Foster's Grill, because I am in Prince William County. I live in Bristow, Virginia, so I'm about 30 minutes from Warrenton, and the Foster's Grill, but it's really close to me, so I just like to fight there, and I don't have to worry about getting my driver's license 2 months, but I'm still looking into getting that, so that way I can actually be somewhere and get to see you guys in person. Back to next control.
Okay, Mike, got all everything you had to say, but you were real hard to copy. Between low audio, which usually is solved by talking either closer to the mic or louder, but also you're not in the best of spots. You're probably just on a handheld and either need to stand up when you talk or wander around the wherever your location is until you can hear the repeater clearly, and then that would be the magic spot for transmitting from, or get a bigger antenna. That's always a solution, too. But anyway, welcome to the group, and look, I think you were online with us last week. Golly, time flies. So if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, yeah, we look forward to seeing you in person. Okay, KQ4CVF. Mark, how are you tonight? Go ahead.
Doing well. With regards to the J-Pole ladder line antenna, that's what we're talking to you on now. We bought a kind of a kit designed by a guy by the name of Dr. Fong. He makes a roll-up, he makes a dual-band, which is what we have here, and he also makes a tri-band version. And with regards to the 3D printer, we have one. The last thing I did with it was to make a Loris tool post holder for a dial indicator for my metal lathe. Back to net control.
Oh, excellent. All right, go on, Mark. Well, that's great. I'll probably want to. You know what? I guess what I'll do is either I or one of you other folks can start another post on groups.io and discuss these J-pole antennas. And if nothing else, just post what you have and what your experience has been with them, whether you made it or whether you bought it. I think that would be a good discussion, because, I mean, heck, if nothing else, it's nice to have something portable like that that you can throw in your go kit, or, you know, even if you don't have a go kit, you know, just, okay, grab the antenna, grab the handheld and a spare battery and head for the hills, or do a soda or whatever. So that's nice to have. K2PI, nice to have you tonight. Go ahead, sir.
Good evening, Brad, N7IBV in the net from K2PI. Not a lot to report this week. I've been on the air a little bit, chasing some stations and just generally testing some things. I put my 30-meter vertical back up and been using that. I decided to test it using Whisper to get an idea of whether it was effectively radiating. And at 100 milliwatts, it's being heard, 4,000 and 5,000 miles away. So I'd say that's pretty good, but Whisper is such a good protocol that hard to say, but I think it's actually working. That's a prelude to a project later on this fall when I try to put up a 630-meter vertical. I've got a loading coil. I'm going to use that that short radiator for it because you can't really put up a full-size radiator. You legally can't, and you certainly can't because they're huge. So I'm going to give that a try for 630 meters. Anyway, good to hear everybody. Back to net and 7IBV, K2PI.
You know, one of the things that I've thought about trying, actually many, many years ago, I attended a field day with the Albemarle Amateur Radio Club, and a fellow brought a weather balloon that he was playing with, trying to, hoist an antenna up, and I don't remember how successful that was, but I thought that that would be kind of fun to try, maybe at a field day. Of course, so much of that depends on the wind. But I suppose that if you were to guy it kind of like a tower, with a tripod with three guy wires, of course, then you're increasing the load. But, you don't need much, I suppose, to guy it so that it doesn't blow sideways. You can hoist it quite a ways. Obviously not 630 meters. But anyway, all kinds of fun things to play with there. That would be interesting. Another thing is kites. I've got a couple of kites that, one or two, they're big enough to hoist a full-size mobile rig if you want to do that. Now, you'd be kind of hard with the battery, but the point is it'll hoist quite a load and steady as a rock. I mean, it goes up there and it just sits steady. And I've had it up 1,000 feet or so. Well, out 1,000 feet, but like I say, it flies pretty straight. Anyway, there's all kinds of fun things you can do to try and get things up high without going high enough that you have to worry about the aircraft. So, fun things to mess with. W4RKU, Kevin, actually one of the things I was going to mention, maybe have you mention, is your recent experience with working packet or APRS through the International Space Station. You've had some success. Actually, you and I both have had some success here this last week. Maybe you want to report on that here real quick. Go ahead.
N7IVV, W4RKU. Yeah, Brad, I've had some success with... stand by for a second. But as you... You know, a few others. I've been kind of busy the last week, so I've kind of played around with it. I have nothing fancy. All I'm using is my Yagi that's on top of the house, and just kind of pointing it to the direction where it'll be the best point. And getting the broadsides of the beam width is pretty wide on that antenna. And yes, I've been getting some very good packet information via this International Space Station. I've messed with APRS and packet for God knows how long. I never really had the means to mess with the International Space Station, and since I didn't have a rig set up like you did, I never even thought about it. Then on a whim, I started playing around with it since you started playing with it, and I do pretty, I can make contacts. I had somebody acknowledge me. Brad, I actually had a 2-8 QSO through it, you know, very short message length, but so I really haven't dug into the UISS software deeply yet, and I'd like to get a little bit better out of it, just so I know what, you know, something different. And last thing I wanted to say is, I've got to find it here, KQ4CJB, Mike, we have not received an application from you. I know you were at the last meeting as a visitor, but we have no application for you. That information can be found on the website. I believe just, you know, joining FARA or some. It's under membership information or club info. And that'll take you to the, give you all the information you need, the fillable PDF, and where to send it to if you intend to join, which I hope to do. So that's all I have. I'll turn it back over to you, Brad, N7IVC. W4RKU, back to net.
Okay, sorry if I'm butting in on the net operator, but I did actually send it in the mail, so if it's probably not there yet, it's probably because it's going through the post office, and I just hope that I sent it to the P.O. box, so I'm just hoping that the mail did not get the letter enclosed with the check, because my family actually, my parents are not into amateur radio, but they just wanted to join the club as well, so... that you should be getting a letter sometime soon, and there's a check in there. I'm just letting you know. KQ4CJB, back to net.
Okay, Mike, very good. Yeah, we'll, I don't think we check that PO box. Well, I know we don't do it every day, but, knowing that you've mailed something, we'll run over and check that, in the next day or so. I'm sure it's in there. It'll be just fine. Very good, sir, and good on you, Kevin. By the way, working something like the ISS, even for voice, is very simple. This is something that Nick has been, well, that's actually kind of what they're working on with the 4-H Club. And for those of you that have been a field day, you've seen my setup, and even then it was probably more than you really need. I mean, you could do it with an HT for voice, dual-band HT. The thing about packet and APRS is it's simplex and it just uses one frequency. So, well, obviously you can't do packet on a handheld unless you have an old Kenwood something or other that did it. But anyway, it's easy. Most of the passes with the ISS are low enough on the horizon you don't have to track it with the elevation. You can just use a regular, you know, three-element Yagi electric tape measure antennas that we do for fox hunting would probably work just fine. So another facet we can play with, you can play with. KM4OZH, Gil, good to hear you tonight. Go ahead.
N7IVV, this is KM4OZH. Well, good evening, Brad, and everybody on the net. And, Brad, I want to thank you for the VHF contest on the during the contest this past weekend. Yeah, I've pretty much recovered from that ordeal. And... The biggest thing in that, other than the fact that I tore up so much equipment, most of it, I guess, from my own laziness and rushing. That's what it is. I was rushing. Was the fog I had to deal with on the top of the mountain there in McConnellsburg, Pennsylvania, on about 2 o'clock Saturday night, 2 o'clock Sunday morning, and. That is the worst fog I've ever driven in, with high beams, low beams, and fog lights. Still, couldn't see 10 feet. I ended up with my head out the window, looking straight down at the ditch, and driving over a mile on a gravel road there. Luckily, no traffic encountered there, but had a good time and. And the various things that malfunctioned, I was able to scab back together and make a go at it. And so I scored 6,002 points, which is, for me, that's higher than last January, but not as high as June. So it's in between there, and we'll see what happens from that. And that's about.
Well, Gil, I'm really glad you made that trip safely. Normally, I would never say that to people because, you know, most people are just fine. But, yeah, driving through the fog like that, that's super dangerous. But it sounded like you were on a road that wasn't heavily traveled. It was interesting. When I first moved here, driving over 64 down there south of Charlottesville, where it goes over the mountain, and they got lights embedded in the road specifically for that, because that's a freeway. And usually everybody just pulls over and waits it out. But anyway, glad you made it, and happy to work you. I did not. I tried to work on Saturday, and as you know, I was kind of dead. And then Sunday, I got distracted and doing other things, and I know I missed a lot of contacts, but. From home, you know, there wasn't a whole lot going on, and I wasn't trying to do 6 meters or anything. As a matter of fact, I was working 3 bands with regular FM, 2 meters, 125 or 220 megahertz, and then 440 megahertz. But anyway, point is, not a real active contest, I noticed last weekend, but it was fun. I enjoyed doing it. This is N7IVV with the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association General Service Net, and we're now up to K3FR. Ron, thanks for your comments on the groups.io about the glass antenna. Go ahead.
Okay, very good, Brad. N7IVV, K3FR. Well, to continue the contest theme a little bit, since didn't get a report in on Saturday other than just a preliminary report, Sunday. I spent the whole weekend fighting a lack of internet connectivity, or at least a lack of being able to get my time sync off of internet. My radios were WSJT was 2 seconds out of sync, and so I only made a couple of contacts there. Sunday morning it did come back, and I was able to get sunk up and work a little bit better. overall, I didn't spend much time. I was fighting the SO2R integration, which still hasn't occurred yet. But I think the problem's over in the way I'm setting up WSJTX. I'll have to figure that out for some way or the other. Another idea for you here, Brad, and also it gives you an idea for a possibility of a 3D printer project. Build a ground plane out of measuring tape sections. You just need to create the place, and those things will fold up nicely and go into a suitcase pretty quickly. I would think that one should work okay as well. Put a hole in the top end, some thread, and just hang it from a light fixture in the middle of the room or something like that, and it'll still work. And you can have fun with that. Put the finishing touches on my fox hunting moccasin, and it's going to be sitting and waiting for our fox hunt. That's a long way to go. I guess I'm going to have to take some time and learn how to use it effectively. Anyway, I only came up with 629 points, rather. 34 contacts, 17 sections, 6 hours of undirected or unfocused contesting. N7IVV, K3FR.
Okay, yeah, it's actually I built, I was trying to come up with a, I hate it when my mind goes blank, a non-directional, what the heck is that called? Omni type of an antenna. So I was playing with a Lindblad for satellite, for receiving these weather satellites that I always watch,
and I'm having trouble here the last day or two. I don't know what's going on. My SDR is putting out weird things. Anyway, so I was experimenting. I built another quadrifeeler helix, which is supposed to be the king of the hill, and I just, this is the second one I've built, for some reason, I cannot get it to receive worth the darn. So I tried a Lindenblad, and anyway, I built all kinds of really cool things out of between PVC pipe and my 3D printer, and so it was fun. It was fun to engineer. It didn't work any better than the quadrifeeler helix, but it was fun to build, and I worked with John KX4O with modeling it with Fornek 2, I guess, the modeling program, and learned a lot about how they work. So it was fun, but didn't have the kind of success that I was hoping I would. So I just went back to regular, you know, steering my Yagi with my Azel rotator, and of course the computer and everything has to be involved in there too. But yeah, always lots of fun things to make with 3D printer. KS1PPY, good to hear from you tonight. I guess are you mobile? We probably should have established that when you first checked in. We would have put you at the top of the list. Go ahead.
It's 7IVV in the net. No, tonight I am actually stationary for the moment. I'm just kind of catching up, trying to clean up the shack to where I can actually operate much of anything, and working from home this week, so it's been nice. Hopefully things will start calming down and I can get back to, like, serious operation. I feel so bad I missed all the VHF contests and other kinds of things, so I don't know, just kind of relaxing and checking in, saying hi, and making sure everybody knows that I'm still alive, and seeing who else is still alive. But, no, I just wanted to check in, say hi to everybody listening in. KS1PPY, back to net.
Okay, Sippy, well, I'm glad your life is easing a little bit. I can't even imagine how busy you've been, and how stressful that must be, but good to have you back with us. And, of course, via VHF contests, I think they have those every 4 months. I was just trying to do the math here the other day, and I guess they must do them every, whatever you call, you know, trimester, not a trimester, yeah, it could be. Anyway, every 4 months. So I guess the next one coming up, where are we, September? I guess the next one coming up is in January. Anyway, KO4VNZ, Chuck, could you have me with us tonight? Go ahead.
N7IVV, this is KO4VNZ. Hi, Brad and the net. I'm glad we had the net tonight. My brain needs a little rest. I've been cramming to get ready for the test session that's coming up Saturday for my general, and makes me reflect back. If I was like Mike's age, KQ4 was a CJV, this would be really easy. But at 70 years old, my brain just doesn't remember that stuff like it used to. So this is a nice break from that. I'll remind everyone to keep on the calendar. The Great Pumpkin Ride is coming up at the end of October. I think it's October 22nd. I'm not sure what all is involved in it, but since I got voluntold that I'm going to be coordinating it, I just thought I'd mention it out there so that people can keep it in mind. I guess the last thing I'll say is I plan to be at the club breakfast, and if not there, you can catch me at one of the club meetings. I've got a great, well, if not great, a really good radio antenna kite flying story to pass on to everyone, but I'll save that and not be so long-winded on the air. So this is Chuck and Opal, KO4VNZ, back to net.
Okay, Chuck. We'll definitely get together here in the next week or so, or somebody will. John, maybe John's a good contact. He will not be available for this. He's got football commitments with his son down in Farmville. I can never remember the name of the school that his son goes to, but I guess he's obviously on the football team, so John goes down to watch the games, and he'll be down there that particular Saturday. But he's been a coordinator for this in the past. I've also got an email here that has a contact name for you. I will send that to you here in just a little bit.
W8BT, Travis, good to have you tonight. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, good evening, Brad and all on the net. I didn't have too much to say, but I did want to comment on the Hetzong antenna. But first, I mentioned that I did do a few contacts like everybody else in the VHF contest. I did work Gil nine times, though. Four bands in FM-18 and four in FM-08 and one in FM-09. So anyway, that was the highlight of my weekend. But the 2 meter J-pole, I bought one off of eBay just due to the price of buying all the mine's actually 300 ohm twin lead and it's dual band 2 meter and 440. The guy that I got it from, he would custom tune them for a specific frequency if you wanted, and I had it put more towards our repeater, you know, the higher end, 140, 147 or so, and it's always worked really great. I've never put it on the Nano VNA, though, since I've had one. I guess that's another project to do here as the weather gets cooler outside. And as far as you say ladder line, but I think you're more speaking of window line. I made my own ladder line out of PVC pipe pieces as spacers and just regular copper 14-gauge THHM. And one other thing I want to say. Oh, on the ground plane, my 220 antenna this weekend was literally just a 12-inch piece of copper pipe on a CB mount about 6 feet off the deck, and that's what I used to work Gil in FM-08 and FM-18. It did quite well, too. It was actually on the wrong side of the house. I was actually working him through the house when he was over there in Manassas at the end of the night. But anyway, that's about all I've got. W8BT, back to net.
Okay, Travis, thank you. Actually, I was surprised I was able to work you. I don't think I've ever been able to successfully work you direct from your location. Maybe it was, I forget now what band it was, but I think that's the first with us. So anyway, it was fun. I think I managed a whole 380 points. but that's because I wasn't trying terribly hard. But I mean, you know, there were a number of people on, but unfortunately a lot of them were fixed. But, of course, Gil was running all over the place, so I worked him I don't remember how many times. But it's always fun to work Gil. It's interesting seeing his setup and knowing that he's out cruising around doing what he's doing, and he doesn't even have a van. He does all of his work from a sedan. If you've never seen his setup, I guess you need to come to a club meeting one of these days because he always drives it there. And, well, of course, you also have to see when he's... I guess there's pictures on the website, so check out the club website. You can see pictures of his setup. Okay, well, that's the end of our list tonight. Any additional check-ins or rechecks, give me a call now. This is N7IVB.
On HTB.
AY4, OP.
Okay, I got Rich, K1HTB, and Simi, and I got your call wrong, and I got a recheck from Nick. Simi, give me your call again.
It's Kilo Delta 4 Romeo Echo Echo.
Thank you. There's another one where I got the second letter wrong tonight. You doubled with somebody. Was there any additional check-ins I didn't read off? Okay, I'll take that as a no. All right, Rich, what you up to tonight? K1HTV and 7IVB.
And 7IVB in the group, K1HTV. Good evening, all. Just got back from Warrington. And I was going to check in mobile, but I got all the way home and... before I could even sign in. So anyway, over the weekend, did the VHF contest, 2 meters, primarily 2 meters and 6 meters, did make some FM contacts with Gil and a couple others on 222 and 432 as well. Ended up with 249 QSOs, 75 grids for about 19,600 points. 2 meters seemed to be the better of the two bands, worked 109 contacts, but 41 grids, which surprised me. They worked so many grids. 41 grids on 2 meters and 27 grids on 6 meters. I worked down as far as Georgia and South Carolina, up far north as New England to New Hampshire, but not the network Maine. Worked out as far west as Ohio, a couple of VE3s on the bands, but conditions were kind of poor compared to June. HF-wise, with the solar flux in the 150 range, conditions were quite good. Went into Costco this morning, got back in, went on 15 meters and worked three stations in India, three VU stations, the last one VU3 RGB, and about half an hour or an hour later, I worked VU3 RGB, VU3 RGB on 17 meters. So four Indian contacts in one day. It's very unusual. Lots of JAs tonight coming through on 15 and 17, so good to see the polar routes working good, the northern latitude contacts. That's it for now. Back to Net Control. This is K1HTV.
Okay, sir. Thanks for the updates there. Yeah, I was working 15 earlier this afternoon, and it was just one after another. It was like fishing in a stocked fishing pond. Didn't even have to put bait on the hook. That was kind of fun. I don't get that too often. Anyway, KD4REE, I hope you're feeling better tonight, Sammy. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little better. At least the pain in the shoulder is gone. And I was wondering if there was any activity on 70 centimeters during the contest, and I got my answer. One of these days I'm going to set up a station, see if I can make any contacts. I'm surrounded by hills on the west and north, so maybe most of the contacts will be from the south. I did read the results from the contest from January. It seems like there's a bunch of activity on 6 meters, so, and I was thinking of putting up a 6 meter beam, a small one too. So yeah, this talk about the VHF contest got me interested in working the 6 meters and 70 centimeters. I don't have too much else going on. I'll turn it back to Net Control and go back to doing the homework. Back to you, Brad, from KD4REE.
Okay, sir. Good to hear that you're feeling better and keeping busy there. That's good. All right, KY4OP, Nick, go ahead with your reach-in.
KY4OP. I thought I'd just throw it back out there since that when I was talking about the roll-up antenna, since you're specifically looking at a apartment application with the window, the one that I have, and you could add it on I guess any of them that you built, actually has on the end of it, opposite the coax feed point, a suction cup. So I regularly take that antenna with me when I travel for work and stick that at the top of the window in the hotel room, and have had a great success throughout several cities around the U.S. Using that to connect from the hotel room into local repeaters. So that's an option as well when you're looking at that ladder line style 2 meter or 70 centimeter antenna. Put a suction cup on the end of that and stick it on the window. Like I said, there's a good article on thehamradio.me about that particular one and the importance of the choke on that for that style of antenna. So that's all I have. KY4OP, back to Net Control.
Thanks for that info, Nick. Yeah, that suction cup would be helpful. As a matter of fact, I may have some of those laying around that they probably don't work, which is why they're laying around. But for little temperature probes and whatnot that we use on the aquarium, it comes with a little suction cup to hold the probe itself in the aquarium up against the glass, but seems like they fail real quick. So anyway, yeah, that's a good thing. Of course, I guess you could just get a hook and hang it from the curtain rod, but this one that's in QSD, he actually says that you have to keep it away from other objects, and apparently that even includes putting it in a piece of PVC. Apparently just putting it in PVC changes the electrical properties enough that you have to retune it if you're going to do that all the time. So, but of course, we all know that you can do what to most of us is a horrible SWR, and most radios can handle that. I think we could probably go as high as 2 to 1, and it won't kill our radios, especially if we're not using high power. But we usually like to keep it below 1.5 to 1, and that's perfectly possible. Now, actually, my first choice for my son would have been a simple mag mount, but unfortunately, he does not have a filing cabinet to stick it on. So that's why we're playing, or I'm playing. He may not even want to do this yet. He's just getting started. But all these other options. Well, anyway, one more call. Any other check-ins tonight? This is N7IVB.